Thank you. Well, it is always a joy to be able to bring you the good news of Jesus. And today we're going to consider the epistle lesson, which is appointed for this baptism of our Lord Sunday. And it comes to us from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 942 of your pew Bibles. And if you don't mind, just follow along silently while I read it aloud. This is Paul speaking. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, as I like to do when I'm trying to, shed some light on a text, is to give you some context. And what I'm going to do in this instance is to kind of give you Paul's reasoning. He's trying to make a case, really, for what Christianity is. And he's going all the way back to creation in Romans, back to the fall of mankind into sin. And he starts off by saying, hey, God has turned everybody over to sin. He has turned everybody over to their lusts, to their greed. And mankind has taken it and run with it, and there are all kinds of sin and despicable things that mankind is capable of doing. And it's spread over all creation. There's nobody that's not guilty. And so then he leads into, so don't sit in judgment of another person because of their sin, because you're just as sinful. That leads him into the only salvation we have is in Christ Jesus, who died for us. And we have been saved by his grace through faith. Now, once he says that, he has to defend it. Because, when we're given just a little bit, we like to run with it. And so apparently, people were saying things like, well, since God forgives us, we don't have to worry about what we do. We can just live the way we've always been living, and because it's taken care of in Christ Jesus, we're fine. No change in life necessary. And he actually says, may it never be, but I like to translate it, are you crazy? No, that's not how God wants us to live. When I first got here, we were looking around all the things that needed to, be fixed in the church. And of course, there's, the whole property was 20 years behind in maintenance, and now, unfortunately, it's about 30 years behind in maintenance. But some people brought up the need for the roof to be fixed, and there's termites and all that kind of stuff. And somebody mentioned maybe getting up there and refurbishing the cross that's up there. And it got me thinking, you know, what about that cross? You know, it's 50 years old. It's certainly not in the pristine condition that it was when the church was first built, you know. And I thought about, you know, well, it's been through all kinds of weather. You know, the sun has scorched it. You know, wind and rain, all those things, age, rust. And of course, the birds probably haven't been kind to it either, if you know what I mean. It's a bad image, but it's important. And then I thought, you know, the thought came to me, God, why do the birds not acknowledge what that symbol is? I mean, that's the cross of Christ. You became man and died on that cross. The birds should acknowledge that and treat it special, right? And the next thought that came into my mind was, we treat it in exactly the same way. And that's what Paul's referring to when he's talking about, even though Christ has died for us and we are saved by his grace, that we should continue to live in our old nature and our sin. It's doing the same thing that the birds do to that cross, to the true cross of Jesus Christ. I realize how unsettling that image is. But it's a reality. That even though Christ died for us and took on all sin for us, was forsaken by the Father for us, we would choose to live in the old life of sin rather than the new life that he's created for us. Freedom in our faith and trust in him. But we do it every day. We fall back into that old nature. And for us Lutherans, it is a real temptation to just go, hey, but Jesus paid for it. I don't have to worry about my sin. I don't have to look hard at my life. I don't have to really seek his forgiveness all the time. That's a waste of my time. I'd be doing it all the time. Yeah. Yeah. Because that indeed is the life he has called us to. A life that is new and that is motivated by his grace and his mercy in us and changes us and compels us to be different. And every time we fall back into the old life, we're seeking him in repentance. Daily repentance. That's newness of life. Daily repentance. The idea that we're saved on January 12th, 1974, and never have to look back at it again. You know, that's the day I was saved. That's when he died for me on the cross. My sin is all taken care of. It's not how God wants us to live our lives, but understand that salvation is ongoing. He leads us to the cross every day, every moment of every day. It's not a one-time decision for God. It is being shown his mercy over and over and over again, and recognizing how much he loves us and cares for us every single day, every moment of the day. And our sin becomes a wake-up call to us, our need for him. And so we go to him over and over and over again. And this is the life that we're called to. It's not a life where we just take for granted his grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called that cheap grace. He goes on to say that cheap grace is absolution without true confession. It's holy communion without self-examination. You know, to take the benefits of God's forgiveness without really getting real with God. That's what God wants us to be, is real with him. And it takes faith to do that. Like I said before, because when you really see what you are like, you may not live through it. You need to have that mercy ready to go so that you don't die of self-loathing, but understand that your worth comes from God and that his strength is made known through weak people. And that's the realization that we come to when we take a good, hard look at ourselves. We are weak, that we are sinful. That we mistreat the cross of Christ on a daily basis and defile the grace and mercy which he has shown us every day. But understand that he is continually forgiving. And when that becomes real to us, it changes who we are and how we act. Because when you have been shown great mercy, you become a different person. The one who's been forgiven much loves much. Jesus says that. But we don't know how much we've been forgiven until we realize what a scoundrel we are through self-examination. When we have the faith to really look at ourselves and we realize how we have hurt the people that we love, and we realize that we don't deserve any of the good things that we have in this world. Yet God has continually blessed us and redeemed us through his Son. It changes who we are and it makes us loving people, giving people. Not because, oh, I'm a Christian and so now I have to love people. So I'm going to try real hard today to love people. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to be more loving. Good luck. It doesn't work that way. It is for you to love anyone happens from God infusing you with his love, and it pours out of you. You're just a vessel. You can't choose to love anyone by your own. You can't even choose to believe in God on your own. That has to be born in you as well through the power of his word. But when we are new creations, we do the things that we do by nature. Why? Because the new nature that God has created in us through our faith in Christ Jesus is exactly what it says it is. It is a new nature, and it does not behave like the old one. It operates in faith. This one operates in fear. I've used this illustration a lot, and I do that so that one of these days you'll be thinking about it and go, oh, I get it now. But the guy who's sitting there worried about where his rent's coming from, and he sees another guy get up and walk away, and he leaves his fat wallet sitting there, and it's stuffed full of money. And he's thinking, oh, maybe that's where I should, you know, get my rent paid from. And it's a temptation to him because he doesn't know how he's going to pay, and he's afraid that he's going to get kicked out. He's going to get evicted. Then what's going to happen? He's going to live in, you know, on the streets. All those fears rush into his mind. But he's been to church before. He knows that it's not right to steal. What would his dead mother think as she looked down upon him? What would God think? You know, he'd probably be upset too. And so he picks up the wallet and he says, hey, buddy, you know, you left your wallet. Everybody looks, wow, what a righteous young man. He did the right thing. See, all you got to do is choose to do the right thing. And what does the author of Hebrews think about that? Well, he would say, the only way to please God is through faith. Sorry, that didn't please God in the least. Yeah, you did, you know, the noble thing. But any, you know, sinners can do the noble thing. Any man or woman can do the noble thing. But only those who trust in Christ Jesus can walk in faith. And so you got the other guy with a new nature. He believes that God loves him, and he trusts in the promises of God. And he doesn't know where he's going to, you know, get money for his next rent either. But he trusts the Lord. He really trusts the Lord. And he knows that even if he gets kicked out on the street, that as God rules and reigns over his life, well, then if he gets kicked out on the street, then God has a plan for him on the street. And he's going to see him through. And it may be difficult, but if that's what God chooses to do with him, that's what God chooses to do with him. And he has no fear, for he knows that God is with him. And if God is with him, that no one can be against him. And he sees the same wallet. And he doesn't go through the, you know, through the white knuckling, trying to decide whether he should do it or not. He says, hey, guy, you left your wallet. Why? Because he has no fear. But he has faith, you see. This is the newness of life that God wants us to live and walk in. The confidence that God's promises are true. And not only are they true, but they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ upon the cross, in his death for sin, and in his resurrection for new life. And live in that faith. Walk in that faith, in that assurance that God loves us and that he rules and reigns over all things and that he loves us. You see, those two go together. He can rule and reign, but if he doesn't love us, we're probably in trouble. And he can love us, but if he doesn't rule and reign, we could still be in trouble. But he does both. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he desperately loves us. And that together means you're in good hands. This is walking in newness of life, trusting in his word. Means trusting in his word over your own thinking. And whatever your station in life is, you know, if you're a husband, God calls you to love your wife as he loved the church and gave himself for her. If you're a wife, you're called to love and honor and respect your husband. Children are called to honor their fathers and mothers. And sometimes these don't feel right. We are certain that we have to, you know, assert ourselves. But what men think are right leads to death. It's only God's word that we can count on. And somebody who understands that God rules and reigns and that Christ died for him trusts his word over their own thinking. And this is walking in newness of life. And when we fail and we defile the cross like the birds up above, there is constant forgiveness as we seek it. As we examine ourselves once again and see our sinfulness and see where we have let fear rule our lives, where we've let greed or lust or any of the other things that compete with God rule our lives, we confess to him, he is faithful and just to forgive them. This is walking in newness of life. Trusting in God, and when we fail, know that forgiveness is there for us as we seek it. So do not live or walk in death, but to live being made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue our worship through our gifts and offerings.